Well, well, well. Good afternoon. Todd Feinberg here at WTIC. I'm so excited to have this guy in the studio with us today. He is Alfredo Castillo, city councilman from Bridgeport, far away from here, many, many miles away. Well, not that many, actually. Depends on what time you drive it. Can take forever, though. How you doing, Alfredo?
How you doing? How you doing, Todd?
Nice to have you here. So I thought it would be fun to have you come on because you have this unusual philosophy, I think, and that is you care about people, that you want to create results on the ground for people. And I've been confused about Connecticut in my 2.5 years here on the radio, that we're in this permanent situation of debt, taxes higher. What's in it for the people, this whole routine?
Well, it's kind of difficult because, you know, the people in Connecticut, they're tired. It's just getting whack. Just keep tax on everything. I'm going to give you a prime example.
Mm-hmm.
Monday was raining. I went to the supermarket with my daughter. I got to get her lunch. And I refused to pay 10 cents for bags. I just refuse.
As with many people. Now, what made you not want to buy the bag?
Really? I have to go to the grocery store. I must have spent like $100.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to pay 10 cents to put my groceries in a bag. Who is getting this 10 cents? It
depends. Was it a plastic bag or a paper bag?
It was a plastic bag.
Well, then the state gets the 10 cents. Why are they doing that to you? You want to know?
Yeah, I'm just like 10 cents.
Why are they taking your dime? Well, look, if you normally go to the grocery store, how many kids in your family?
3.
All right, so you go and do your weekly shopping. You spend what? How much?
$100, $150. You know,
easy.
It's easy.
If you got the list from your wife.
So five bags. Say five bags.
Yeah.
I'm just say five.
Five bags.
That's 50 cents.
50 cents.
Add that up.
Yeah.
Every week.
Do that once, twice a week. Well, let's just say it's
$2.
Once a week.
It's $2 a month.
Mm-hmm.
Two times 30 days. What is that? That's $8.
Well, 12.
Every week you spend 50 cents. So
50 cents.
It's $2.
$2 a month.
So $2 times 12.
$24 a year. That's you could go out to lunch.
Yeah. Buy my kids some sneakers.
That's amazing, isn't it?
And that's just 10 cents.
Wow. And that's like embarrassing for the state to be charging so little for something like that. They like to go after big money usually. Like they're talking tolls that would be $500 to $1,000 a person, you know? That's what they're after.
Well, they want to start with the trucks.
Well, they don't want to. They're forced into it, right? Because it didn't work. Ned started with the trucks. Then he gets elected, and I imagine everybody came into him. So we just want a big victory. Forget about trucks only. Let's go for the whole thing. We can get whatever we want.
Mm-hmm.
We're in charge now.
Yeah.
And so he says, okay, so I'll have to take the heat for being a liar. What's the big deal? If we're going to get $1,000 per person, if we're going to get $1 billion a year, I can be a liar for that. So they convince him it's going to sail through, no problem. Go back on your word.
Yeah.
And then it doesn't work. So now they're back to trucks. And now all of the arguments he was making about why trucks wouldn't work, we have to go for the big thing. Now he's back saying, oh, those arguments that's not right.
No, I seen him he was on they were on TV and he was just gagging. The reporter's asking, we need to do this. I have a plan. Tell me your plan. Tell the people the truth.
But so you represent Bridgeport. How's it work in Bridgeport? You represent a portion of the city, right?
Yes. There's 10 districts in Bridgeport, and I represent the 136 is one of the districts in Bridgeport that I represent. And it's the one of the... It's kind of funny, my district, because it's like the poor, the middle class, and, you know, more...
You've got a cross-section.
Yeah, cross-section.
Yeah. Well, that's good. So you've got everybody there. So
I have everybody.
And what do you, is there a constituency there that's excited about tolls?
Listen, I'm walking around. I'll ask people, hey, what do you think about these tolls? And most of them is like, no, I don't want to. I got to pay to go to work, and I got to pay to come back home.
Yeah. Isn't that amazing? The idea that you have to pay to go to work. That's what they want to do.
Yeah. He wants to borrow $20 billion.
Well, the latest plan, yeah, $21 billion.
Who's paying that?
And, well, it's all free money, you know. Nobody pays for money. It's all free.
Yeah, it's not free on the taxpayers.
No, it's not free on the taxpayers. But it looks that way because they spend so much money, nobody can track it. You don't know what's paying for what.
No, they just tell you this is what we're doing, this is the plan, and you just do what I tell you to do because you elected me and I know best.
Right.
And so what if you don't like it? But you elected me, so I'm going to do what I think is right. But it's not right. It's a lie. You're lying to yourself, Lamont.
So what's your message to Ned? Because he'll get a direct report on what you say here today. So what's your message to him on behalf of the people of Bridgeport?
Go back to the drawing board and figure out a different plan. Mm-hmm. But tolls are not tolls. They're tax on the people.
Simple as that.
Simple as that. We're not going to accept you taxing us, and it's enough.
But you're the city, and your people are supposed to automatically vote for Democrats.
Yes, so we get another
you're
Democrat.
You're supposed to fall in line for Ned.
No, I don't fall in line with Ned. Ned needed us. We didn't come to get him. He needed us. He didn't win his election. Bridgeport came out for him. The big cities came out for him. He hasn't done nothing for Bridgeport.
What?
So my loyalty is not to Ned. My loyalty is to my people.
Okay. So what would be the thing? If Ned wanted to be a leader and make good things happen for the people of Bridgeport.
Come talk to me.
Yeah. But
come talk to me. I'll tell you. I'll give you the plan.
Give us the list. Can you share a little, at least in general, what would be the things? How would... Because I don't know if Democrats know how to think anymore. I think they're stuck in this mode of... You just keep taking money in order to keep creating cash flow that goes to your voters, you know, money to flow to your voters. But when you actually go to the cities, you don't see the cities thriving. You don't see wonderful things happening in the cities. The Democrats say we represent the cities. We care about poor people. We care about minorities. I don't see poor people and minorities thriving with all this plundering that gets done, all this money that gets taxed. Where is the great economic activity that results from all this stuff they take?
So I had a plan. I talked to my mayor yesterday, and I was telling him that Lamont is giving our resources to these Europeans. They're Danes.
Oh, you're talking about for the windmills there.
For the windmills.
For the turbines.
So this is our resources. This mm-hmm. is our wind. We're Americans. And you're giving it to these Europeans, and you're giving it to them for free. Put in these turbines, whatever you're going to put in the water, and then we'll buy the electricity for you for double rates.
That's the deal.
That's the deal.
That doesn't sound like
a... I'm going to give you my offshore wind farms for free. Just put them up, and when you put them up, you charge me double rates, and I'll buy electricity so I can... Get it to my people.
So this sounds like a familiar kind of situation. The resources, the politicians who say they care so much about everybody and want to do things for everybody are not doing anything for anybody. Except we assume that maybe they've got a piece of land that's going to get a building on it or, you know, somehow make something happen that enhances their influence. But All of this spending on cities, it seems like permanent poverty programs. The poverty isn't going away.
No, there's no jobs. I door knocked. I won my election. I door knocked, and my first thing is, listen, how's the family? How you doing? Everything okay? And like, Fred, I need a job. And I was like, okay, I'm trying to get you a job. Here's my car. You call me, and I'm going to create jobs. You want to create jobs? It stops all that. You could get some revenue from the Connecticut and you get the money.
If you're growing jobs, you're growing the tax base.
Yes.
And that provides the juice that makes everything flow.
Well, everybody's leaving, so who you whack? You whack the people because it's easy. They pay for it. They're going to pay the money to get on the roads. They're going to pay the money to get off the roads.
So this is fascinating. We're talking to Alfredo Castillo, city councilman, Bridgeport. And he's breaking with Democratic leadership. He's breaking with the governor because he says tolls are wrong. Let's talk more about it. Alfredo's here for the hour. If you have something you want to say to him, feel free to call 860-522-9842. But you don't have to. We can just talk here and you can learn all about him. He's a fascinating guy. Stay with us on WTIC. So, it's WTIC. I know this sounds a little different because we've got a city councilman here from Bridgeport on the air. But he's talking about the thing we talk about all the time. And the thing that holds our politics, I think, locked in place is that there's party loyalty instead of people loyalty. And it seems to me clear that what Democrats have been doing on the state level has been ravaging the state for everybody. Who benefits? Who wins from bankruptcy? That isn't doing anything for anybody. Alfredo Castillo is here, city councilman, Bridgeport. He's saying, let's stop the plunder. No more tolls. Forget about the tolls. Let's make stuff happen. Let's create jobs. And it when I first met with Alfredo and he said this to me, it kind of broke through, Alfredo, when I heard you say this, because what people seem to do when they get into power is no matter what they were campaigning on, they forget all about the promises they were making. They forget all about the people who got them elected. They forget all about where they came from. And they're now in the machine and they're thinking, how do we feed the machine? How do we get more money for the machinery so we can get reelected? Who do we need to create a flow of money too in order for us to get elected? And Democrats as a party claim to be the party of the cities. And I don't see the cities thriving, and I'm confused by this. So you come along and you say, the thing we need to do is create jobs in the city. Now, how complicated would that be, really?
Not complicated, just, you know.
I mean, the cities have what cities have.
We're the mecca nation. But we have everything here.
There's workers in the city. There's resources in the city. Like Bridgeport. Bridgeport. What's that word port at the end of bridge? And why is there a bridge? What's it going over? Is there not money to be made from being a port?
Yes.
With a bridge. Do you have a bridge in Bridgeport?
We have a bridge and we have a port.
How about that?
That's not being utilized.
How about doing something with that?
We could do trades with 175 countries around the world.
What's going on in that port? Is it thriving? How many ships coming in with containers every day?
Nothing. There's nothing there. There's $6 shrimps and 2 penthouses. That's what's there.
What is that $6?
That's the restaurant that's on the water. I say $6 shrimps and 2 penthouses. That's what's there.
The penthouses are above the restaurant?
Yeah.
And that's it?
Bass Pro.
Seriously, there's nothing going on in the port.
Oh. We need to crank the engine. Start it up. It's a motor.
See, I think if you mobilize the powerful people, if the powerful people were thinking of how can we make this city thrive again, that wouldn't be such a hard thing to do. Has the Lamont administration had any big meetings down in Bridgeport talking about how do we get this thing turned around? How do we make it happen?
I'm a Democrat. I supported Lamont when he came in the second time. Mm-hmm. I supported my mayor when he ran.
Yep.
But when Joe Ganim didn't get the endorsement or the election, then we supported Lamont. And he said he was going to be the people's champion. That's what he told me.
Right. He told you that to your face.
Yeah, he's going to be the people's champion. Mm-hmm. He came to Christmas with his family at a soup kitchen.
During the campaign.
Yeah. And I had one of my stickers on my phone, Ganim for 2020.
Uh-huh.
And he said, hey, you was on the other side. I said, he's my mayor. I'm loyal. He's my mayor. What do you want me to do?
Oh, for 2018, for the governor's race.
Yeah, for the governor.
Yeah.
I supported him. But you're the governor. What are we going to do? I talked to him and never called me again.
But I don't understand this. It's not complicated. You've got the job. Make something happen. Why is everything? He's invested a year in tolls. That's what his first year in office has been, tolls. What kind of legacy is that for your first year when you've got your honeymoon period and everybody's looking to give you a shot, cut you some slack?
I'm speechless. I don't understand where is he coming from and why would he do that where he lives. This is the state of Connecticut, one of the richest state.
Yeah.
And
no, it's really perplexing because it seems to happen time and again. There are all these themes during election years that people strike, all these poses about who they care about and what they want to make happen. And I don't see any correlation between that and what happens after they get elected. But because politics is a team sport, everyone seems to go along with the idea that, okay, they're our guys, so they didn't do anything, but that's okay. They don't have to because they're still our guy. But if it's your team and your pitcher isn't winning games for you, then at some point you have to say, we've got to change the way we're doing things. Nobody's winning games for us.
No, nobody is. And they're good people. They're good Democrats. It's just Bridgeport, we're not at the table.
At what table? The state table, you mean? Why?
Yeah.
But Bridgeport is
Hartford,
the biggest city.
Hartford.
But Bridgeport's the biggest city in the state. How's that possible for it to just be ignored?
There's no leadership from Bridgeport. So they cut their cars up there.
The only
thing we have is numbers.
So you mobilize those voters and you get them, you make something happen for them.
Yeah.
And that's where the power is.
Yeah. I have a friend of mine, he's state senator, Dennis Bradley. I told him, no toes, Dennis. You go there, you fight for me. Chris Rosario, another friend of mine. No toes, Chris.
State rep?
State rep.
And what did they say?
They don't want no toes. Find a different way.
What do you think about that message? What kind of feeling are you getting? Do you think no tolls is the dominant theme even in the cities? When you walk the streets and you talk to people, are they excited about tolls?
Come on.
Well, it's supposed to be this free money.
Nothing is free in life. Somebody has to pay for that.
Well, that's true. And who usually pays? Who always pays?
The people.
The people always pay.
The people.
I'm so excited about the idea of getting this message across, and you're a powerful voice to do it as a city councilman from Bridgeport and somebody who comes from your background. We haven't really talked about it, but we should. And because your background is as a working guy yourself, and you'll tell the story. We've got to take a little break and get a news update. But after that, maybe you can tell your story, because it's a fascinating story of what, you know, of how power should be. Power should be in the hands, I think, of people who have this connection to voters, to taxpayers, to the people who are living in their town, in their city.
Yeah, it's the power of the people.
Instead of the posers. There's so many posers in politics. Alfredo Castillo is our guest. Stay with us on WTIC. Yeah, you hear that song, Alfredo? Revolution by the Beatles. We play songs like that because we think there's some kind of revolution needed in the state. You know, not the old-fashioned violent kind, but the democratic kind, to motivate people, organize people and motivate people to stand up and demand of the political class that the political class actually do what's right for the people instead of what's right for themselves. And it seems to me that the frustration in America today is that there's a sense that is correct, that the establishment doesn't respond to the needs of the people. It talks lots of stuff that sounds good, but doesn't actually deliver. And I think the story of American cities, and the story particularly the cities of Connecticut, that's the story. that people don't deliver. So that's why your message resonated with me and why I wanted to have you on the air. Alfredo Castillo is here, and he's a city councilman from Bridgeport. And the idea that you are so connected to your voters that you just want to talk about what their needs are instead of repeating some talking points that have been handed down from somebody up above, you know, that's a beautiful thing to me.
Like I said, I'm about jobs. You teach somebody how to fish, they'll eat forever.
Yeah.
And that's what it's all about. I'm a son of an immigrant. My mom came here from Central America, Guatemala, in the 1970s. My mom still works for the same factory when she was 17 years old.
From her first job when she came here.
That was her first job and the only job. And she took care of us. Long-term checks.
Mm-hmm.
That's what people want.
In other words, give people a shot.
A shot. Give them hands-on training. This is the job. We train you. Here's this. Thank you for the service. Here's your check. I'll see you next week. By the way, we have some little overtime. You want a little extra.
It's not complicated.
Not complicated.
Is it possible it's just been substituted with this idea of free stuff from the government and that the whole democratic infrastructure is focused on we've got to get more free stuff to give people? Is that what people want or do they want the job?
No. Listen, I work for the biggest agency in Bridgeport, was the Housing Authority.
Mm-hmm.
And there were good people living in the projects.
Sure.
They're there because they're not bad people. They're there because they can't afford to live in the real society,
yeah,
to pay light, gas. They just can't do it. But because they live there, they're bad people.
But I wonder if that them being there provides a way to influence voters that, okay, we put up these buildings and people live there. They're beholden to us. We don't have to give them jobs because we can give them these other things.
No, they want to work. These people want to work. It's just... how do you support a family on a $300 check?
You don't.
Where do you go with that money?
Not very far.
You don't go far. So if you give them a job making $20-$25 an hour.
Changes the whole feeling of who you are too, doesn't it? The self-esteem.
Yeah, self-esteem. Hope.
Yeah.
That there's a job that I could go to work.
That you have a little power in the society.
I will feed my family.
Yeah.
Clothe my family. Go on vacation with my family.
Well, that's what a person wants to do. Mother wants to be able to take care of her kids.
That's the middle
class. A father wants to take care of his family.
The middle class. Just be in the middle class.
Let's take a couple of phone calls for Alfredo Castillo, city councilman from the city of Bridgeport. Glenn in Torrington. Hi, you're on WTIC. Yes, Glenn.
Hi, how are you?
Go ahead, sir. Say hi to Alfredo.
Hi, Alfredo.
Hey, Glenn. What's going on?
I got to say, you know, Bridgeport is a much maligned city. In the 50s, it was the science center of Connecticut.
It was the Mecca of Connecticut.
They had A.C. Gilbert and all kinds of industry down there.
Remington, GE, Sikorsky.
Yes, exactly. And unfortunately, the corporate gods decided we should move away.
You know why, right? You tax them.
Yeah.
Give me more money. And you know what? I'm out of here.
They got
driven out by taxes. They didn't want to pay their fair due.
Well, they did the natural thing, you could say, Glenn, which is, you know, flow like water. That's what business does. Where's the lower cost? We'll go there. But it's that you're talking about. What year did those companies leave? When was that?
In the
50s.
And
60s. And 70s.
70s.
And
they
80s.
Started in the 70s.
No, but they started bleeding out in the 50s.
Well, I'm sure that's true. But Alfredo says when he came, when he was born, when he was a kid, when his mother came here in the
70s.
70s.
It was still,
that all those companies were still happening.
Yeah, GE was still here. Hubble.
Yeah.
So Glenn, if those companies left... And it's been 50 years, 40 years, and those jobs haven't been replaced yet. That seems to me unacceptable. How can that be?
Well, you know, they tried to rebuild. They put in the baseball stadium and a few other features to draw people into town. and it just wasn't enough.
But how does a baseball park rebuild a city? You need jobs first. That's the foundation.
It brings in money.
Yeah, but people need money to spend first. It's an interesting...
I used to work in West Haven, Connecticut, and we would have two carloads of guys go down to the Bridgeport Stadium to watch the Bluefish play. Yep. And so we were bringing money into the town.
Well, I understand that, but that's not, you know, that's a few jobs and that's some economic activity. There's nothing wrong with that. But, Glenn, thank you for the call. But ultimately, you need thousands of jobs for people. There's 165,000 people in Bridgeport?
Yes.
I mean, you need a lot of jobs. Yeah. It's good to have a baseball team, but you need factories. You need stuff happening. All I'm saying is that after 40 years, you would think that the leaders of the city, along with the leaders of the state, would have figured out some economic renewal to go on. You can't sit around for the rest of time and say, oh, we had jobs, but they went overseas. Well, what have you been doing since then? And by the way, there's been a whole tech movement and an innovation economy that where other states and other cities are rocking and rolling with new employment opportunities.
Yeah. 5G, data centers.
Yeah.
It's the new technology.
Don, East Hartford. Hello there, Don. You're on WTIC with Alfredo Castillo.
Hey, Todd. It's Don from Jamaica. You know me.
Hello, Don.
Yeah. Well, listen, I was listening to your guests, and you guys were discussing jobs when I was driving, but I'm parked now. But listen, we have to talk about the quality jobs. Yeah. Republicans like to say, oh, the unemployment is at an all-time low, but what type of jobs? Minimum service jobs where people doing two and a half service minimum jobs to make ends meet. And what it translates to is kids get the chance to run free while their parents are out there, you know, busting their backs for two jobs at minimum wage.
All right, so Don, focus on your point so I can get an answer from Alfredo. You're saying what?
We need jobs, but we need good paying jobs, not just service jobs and minimum wage jobs.
And how do we get those jobs that Don's talking about?
The future jobs are the clean energy jobs, these turbine jobs.
Mm-hmm.
The Danes are coming over here. They're spending $50 million to come to America.
Okay.
These are $25 to $45 an hour jobs, hands-on training. I know what he's talking about. He's Jamaican. Jamaicans, yeah. It's a big, we have a big Jamaican
population.
Oh, yeah. They're the workforce. They know what welding, electrician.
And
they know
great people.
They're great people. And they just, like you said, they just want to go to work, make a good living. And
so why aren't there more of these jobs? Why is it taking so long?
They're coming, but we need to work on it. Like I'm saying, Lamont, you just gave our resources to these Danes. Why can't we create these jobs here?
You want the city of Bridgeport to have the ownership of this company.
The
ownership should be local.
Yeah. GE, they make the big turbines.
Mm-hmm.
They'll come back. Those are jobs. You know, manufacturing, installation.
So lower the price.
And servicing
of,
the product.
Lower the price of electricity. Then.
And or lower the price of electricity.
Does that make sense, Don?
Yeah, but somebody was talking about a $15 an hour minimum wage.
No.
But if I remember correctly, I'm not sure if it's just your show, but it's on this station where people was tearing it down. Oh, it's going to cost jobs. No, most of these small companies won't be able to pay $15 an hour. It's just people's going to find themselves unemployed. $15, and people cry down and say, that's too much.
Well, it's a whole different discussion, Don, that I don't want to get into. But the point on $15 minimum wage is people should be getting paid more, not by making the pizza place pay $15 an hour. They should get paid because they've got a good education, because they went to great schools, and because there are great jobs around where they can take their knowledge and their talents and make money. And it's easy for a politician who's failed to provide those answers, hasn't provided the good education, and a political machine over generations doesn't provide good education, doesn't provide good jobs. It's easy to run around and say, oh, we're the guys who want to force people to pay you more than what the job is worth. That's not an answer to me. The answer is go fix the things that you haven't fixed, and then you don't have to tell businesses how much to pay, because the market should decide what people make. And the way you make more in a marketplace that's working and functioning is by having skills that you bring to the table and having a good work ethic and having an education. So I hear what you're saying, Don, but I also hear it sounds like you've been hearing too many talking points from the left that doesn't believe in the principles of markets, doesn't believe in the talents of people. I believe in the talents of people. If you give them a decent education and then you do what Alfredo's talking about, bring jobs in. Politicians working for people aren't saying pay people money that the government is telling them they have to pay. The jobs for people are great jobs that are there because the government is out there capitalizing on the available resources. Bridgeport has a bridge and it's got a port and it's doing nothing. That's the answer, it seems to me. 860-522-9842. I'm sorry I'm making the speech as well. I've got Alfredo here, but we'll talk more coming up on WTIC. Alfredo Castillo is here. He's a city councilman from Bridgeport. He's breaking with Ned Lamont over tolls. Says that, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but you're saying basically to Ned, don't come looking for our votes if you're going to push tolls through. Because that's a burden on people, urban voters, my people. Yeah. That's what you're saying.
I don't want tolls on my people. I don't want tax on my people. That's what it is. Forget about the tolls. It's a tax.
Yes. It's a T word. We don't like those T words.
I don't like that.
860-522-9842. Joe in New Hampshire. Hello, Joe.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Alfredo, how are you?
Hey, Joe, what's going on, boss?
Well, listen, I had a call. I moved out of Connecticut about 2 years ago because of the taxes in New Hampshire. But I'm going to tell you, I grew up in Stratford, right on the Bridgeport line.
Oh, you're my neighbor. You're my neighbor.
Yeah, the exit 32, I was a quarter mile in from exit 32, right by the Stratford toll station that used to be there. Mm-hmm. And I used to ride my tricycle on the Connecticut Turnpike before they opened it while they were building it. I mean, I know all about Bridgeport, the Barnum Parade, mm-hmm. Seaside Park.
All right, bring it into the present. What do you want to say to Alfredo?
Well, I just want to let him know that in my heart, I know where he's coming from, you know, the location he's representing. And he's the type of Democrat that used to be the Democrats of the 1950s and 1960s.
Yeah, he sounds like a throwback, doesn't he?
Absolutely. My mother used to always vote Democrat because it was the party of the people and jobs for the people. And, you know, what's happened? We moved out of Stratford at the end of the 1960s. What's happened to the Democrat Party since then? It's really sad because Alfredo represents what the Democrat Party was back in the 1950s and 1960s, 100%. I wish him a lot of luck. Thank you.
Thank you, Joe, for the call. What Joe's saying, because I think there's something inspiring about this idea of actually caring about your voters.
You're there because they vote you in. I mean, you're loyal to them.
There's this legacy that Democrats care about working people, but they've been losing elections because those voters have been saying, wait a sec, they're not doing anything for me. And I don't understand why the cities have stayed so loyal, but I'm excited with the way you're talking, because I think it threatens Democrats, and they need to be threatened, because you can't just expect people to vote for you forever when you're not delivering the product. You've got to bring results.
Yes.
Good call. Thank you for that. Ed and Tolland. Hi, Ed.
How you doing today?
Thank you for the call, sir.
Good. I'm 63. I was laid off from Pratt Whitney about 10 years ago. I'm rather educated, but that doesn't really mean anything. I like to think I'm conservative, and then sometimes I hear other topics, and I tend to lean toward the middle. But, you know, the thing that I question, not because I'm right or I'm wrong, is, you know, if we all, you there?
Go ahead.
If we all took the topic on its own merit as opposed to, well, I always think maybe more on the conservative side or the liberal side, I think maybe we have more in common than we have against each other.
Well,
and that's one problem.
That's what's going on here right now. We're combining forces.
Yep. The tolls, I'm not for the he said he was going to do it.
Sorry, you're breaking up on us, Ed, but we heard you say that you're not for the tolls, and that was about all we could get. But that's the message that Alfredo is here to bring from Bridgeport. Bridgeport voters don't need another tax. Been enough tax hikes already. Every couple of years, it seems, there's big tax hikes. And you're saying enough already.
Yeah, it's enough. It's
so just... you came in, Alfredo, you came in with this great document from the state of Delaware. Explain this thing.
Oh, so, okay, so I was... this is what they don't talk about. So my friend, he's a college kid. He's going to Georgetown, and he went through the state of Delaware, and it was a $4 toll.
Okay, and he had his transponder in the car, right?
He had his Easy Pass, and he got a bill. They took a picture of his car and they sent it to his home.
So the Easy Pass didn't read went through the gantry.
Yes.
This is just to show how the compassion crowd loves you so much they want to put in tolls. $4 toll. What happened? It didn't read. The equipment failed. So he gets a bill in the mail based on reading his license plate. Tell us about that bill, Alfred.
So he got a bill of $4, and then he got a bill of $91.50.
Now, how did that happen? Was he kept them waiting for 5 years or something? What happened?
No, he after 15 days, if you don't pay the $4, it adds up. But it was kind of shocking because I said $4, and it came out to $91.50. So I read it. It says administrative fee is $25. Ambulance co-fund, $10.
Ambulance co-fund? All he did was go through a gantry.
Yeah.
He's paying for ambulances.
Yes. A combat violent crime.
Violent crimes, $15. What is that?
$15.
All he did was drive through the state. And the gantry didn't work. The transponder didn't work.
And then they gave him a civil penalty.
Civil penalty, $25.
$25. And then they gave him another civil penalty.
A surcharge.
Surcharge. For $12.50.
$91.50 is the bill. And now, Alfredo, I think your point in bringing this was you're dealing with the devil if you want to give them the power to collect tolls.
Yeah, it's $5, but if you don't pay the $5, here, I'm going to send you a bill of $91.
Well, it's $4.
Yeah, but Lamont's saying $5. He wants $5.
Okay, but his might be $1.50. It might be $150 to pay his.
It starts like that.
Put on the administrative fee, the Lamont eats out on Thursday's fee, the ambulance company combat violent crimes fund. In other words, once they have a stream of revenue, they'll screw whoever's going under those gantries for whatever they can screw them for. Do you want to stay longer?
Yeah.
Can you do another half hour?
Yeah, I can do another.
All right, we're having
a
good time. We got a lot of calls. Let's keep it going. Alfredo Castillo is here from the city of Bridgeport. He's a city councilor. What we need is more city councilors from cities across the state to talk like you're talking, to do what you're doing. I wanna start a Castillo cascade of people deciding they're gonna represent their voters instead of being loyal to their party. Alfredo Castillo is here, city councilman, or just councilman. Is that what you call it in...
City councilman.
City councilman in Bridgeport.
The 136.
The 136. It sounds like a train shooting through town. And I want to get a mutiny going. I'm a troublemaker, you know that. I don't like government being the con artist that wants to figure out ways to take people's money. And tell them all kinds of sweet stories about why they're taking it, and then it doesn't accrue to them the way it's supposed to. It's supposed to come back to the people in the form of a growing, thriving, better society. And I don't see that happening. So stop taking the money if you're not going to do anything good with it.
Yeah.
So I'm with you. That's how I come at it. Tex is calling. You're on the air, Tex, with Alfredo.
What's going on? How are you, Todd?
Well, ask Alfredo that. Tell him, what do you want to say to him?
I want to say to him that, number one, he sounds like he's speaking in layman's terms, which reminds me of somebody else, President Trump, that is getting ridiculed for being so honest and outside of the box.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that it's
he's comparing you to President Trump. Yeah, go ahead.
Because he's speaking the truth. He doesn't care what other people say. And I think that what's happening, there's a shift going on. And I heard another caller call earlier speaking about, and even you commented on it, Todd, about how it's supposed to be, isn't it neat how people are voting and things are going the way that people want? How cool is that? But my question is, when was that not supposed to be the way this system is set up?
When did the change
how
happen?
Did we ever get used to it?
Yeah. Well, it's like the frog in the hot water, right? They don't notice it's getting hotter and hotter and hotter. And the next thing, before they realize what's happening, they can't jump out because they're too hot and they die. And that's, I think, the principal text. Interesting point. Thank you so much for the call. 860-522-9842. Alfredo's going to stay till the bottom of the hour. Stay with us on WTIC. WTIC. Love having Alfredo in studio. I want to get a lot more city councilors. I'm looking for a city councilor volunteers to come on, tell people the truth about why things don't work. And I think this is what happened, is the jobs left and the power structure of the urban areas said, we're going to become the new provider of income to people. We're going to keep the permanent poverty programs going. We're going to expand them. We're going to make sure the schools never get better. We're going to freeze everything in place here, provide a lot of benefits to people. And then they have to vote for us because we're like the godfather. We walk around handing out the money. But they're not delivering what people actually want and need, which is a way to take care of themselves.
Yeah.
So they just sit there and don't do anything on purpose. I think that's the source of the malaise. 860-522-9842. Alfredo Castillo is his name, City of Bridgeport councilor. But we want councilmen, sorry. We want councilors from all over the state to start peeling away from Democrats like truth tellers, like saviors, like people who care. Joe and Avon. Hi, Joe.
Yeah, hi. How are you? There's one major reason. I mean, I manage money. I've called many times. Mm-hmm. And there's one major reason why people are moving out other than taxes, is that there's 3.8 million baby boomers retiring every year from now until 2029.
Okay.
Connecticut ranks of 35th overall in several criteria, including cost of living, taxes, weather, crime, and other factors. South Dakota is one of the best places in which to retire.
So you're saying people are leaving, boomers are leaving because they can't afford the tax rates here?
Well, baby boomers are moving out literally because, number one, you have state unions who pay off politicians for deals that nobody can get in the private sector.
And then nobody can afford to pay for.
Yeah. And then the private sector has to pay for that. So mm-hmm. they make 150% more than the private sector over their lifetime divided by the number of years they work. Number two, Connecticut is a dying state. It is not attractive. It is not lively. Their health care is decent, but that's about it.
Well, wait a second.
It's basically an old state.
But why could it not be attractive and lively if it wasn't getting sucked dry by a political class that doesn't give it what it needs?
Well, here's the thing. 62% of all millennials who go to school here leave the state. My two children live in Tempe, Arizona, and Scottsdale, Arizona.
Well, I hear you, but I ask you the same question. If there were leaders in urban areas like Bridgeport who are doing what Alfredo's doing and saying, let's make something happen in this city, he's willing to work with anybody. He doesn't care about political labels. He wants to get jobs that are good jobs, valuable jobs, into the cities, and he's building networks of people to make that happen.
Well, then it has to be this. It has to be either some sort of technology center. It has to be safe. Bridgeport is, excuse me, it's not a great place. It's very high crime. It's literally a slum. Nobody thinks of Bridgeport as a nice place.
Well, that's because there aren't jobs there.
It's Bridgeport.
You turn that around when you get jobs and you start, you know, you some apartment buildings start going up, and then there's nice restaurants that start coming in to support those jobs. Go ahead, Alfred.
It's safe.
Listen, it's safe. Bridgeport's safe. Listen, this is going on. People from New York are going to Stanford. It's too expensive. They go to Norwalk. Too expensive. Where do you end up? Bridgeport. But we have to have a base so they could stay here and make a living here. That's what I'm trying to do.
There's got to be jobs.
They're coming.
And that's how you grow the city.
You got the Hispanic population, the Dominicans, the Guatemalans, Salvadorians. That's the workforce. And they're here. Their kids are here.
And you're saying they're locating in Bridgeport
they're
now because the costs are cheaper.
Yeah,
there.
The crime is not that. It's just there's nothing there. That's right. Where you get the crime. You put people to work, the crime is going to go away.
Yep.
It is what it is.
Thank you for the call, sir. Good to hear from you. 860-522-WTIC, John in Wallingford. Hi, John. John, go ahead.
Yes, I'm calling to just give Alfredo an applaud for his character. I think he has a real strong character, and I like his clear, common sense thinking, the way. It's based on the way things really work. He's not giving us the political ivory tower feel-good nonsense that you often hear from political leaders. And I really think we need more leaders like Mr. Castillo. And I wish that your listeners, Todd, would hold Connecticut representatives from both parties to the same qualities that Alfredo
shows. Yeah, well, that's why he's here. That's why I have him on, because people have to see that it's happening. They have to see what courage looks like. They have to see what leadership looks like. And when it's modeled for people, then they can decide, do I want to be with the plunderers who take all the money, tell a lot of sob stories, but don't actually deliver, or do I want to be with Alfredo Castillo and make something happen? I want to build Team Castillo, because I think that's how we save the state. I do. I think that's how... Get everybody into Bridgeport. Get everybody into Hartford, whatever the city is, and actually make something happen instead of just building an infrastructure of free stuff. Free stuff doesn't help people. 860-522-9842. We'll talk more with Alfredo in about 90 seconds. Traffic and weather together on the 8s. Mike Allen in the WTIC Traffic Center. Continuing our conversation with Alfredo Castillo, councilor from Bridgeport, and a revolutionary, because he doesn't just say what Democrats are supposed to say. He's unhappy with Ned Lamont pushing tolls. He says, if you want to win Bridgeport, you have to deliver something for the city of Bridgeport, like jobs, not higher taxes. And tolls are taxes, right, Alfredo?
Yes.
Wait a sec. Mike wasn't on. Go ahead. Say yes loud.
Oh, yes. No, yes. No.
Yes. There we go.
No taxes.
No taxes. Ed calling from Tallent. Hi, Ed. Oh, yeah. We had reception. Sorry, we couldn't hear you. You broke up on us.
Yeah. Thanks for bringing me back. I don't believe in the tolls, because if he gets it in and he does the trucks, then he's just got an open gate for the cars. The floodgates will open up. And although the Republicans don't want it, the money will be coming in. And they're going to hide behind the Democrats and say, we didn't like it, but they're going to enjoy the money coming in. I'm not saying anybody's the villain here. Everybody's got a piece in this. We have to stop spending money.
Yes.
We have to find out how to do it. I mean, there are benefits that the state gives a lot of people aid that need it. And the $15 an hour minimum wage does have benefits as much as it has fallbacks. There are people that are getting aid that'll probably be able to get less aid. We hope that the state will reduce the amount of aid they give them when they can go out and work. But then, too, it requires the people that hire them for $15 an hour to ensure they're getting their money's worth from the...
Yes, and it requires that everybody pay more as salaries in all classes of employment go up, and not just the minimum wage workers, but everybody's rate goes up. So it's essentially a tax increase on the state, because it costs more to go buy your burger or whatever it is you're buying. Much better to educate people. See, that's treating symptoms. When you say, let's do a minimum wage, what you're saying is, we have failed as a society and as a government. Therefore, we're going to go force employers to pay more than they need to make up for the fact that we didn't educate people properly and we didn't bring enough good jobs in. And so anytime a politician is arguing for minimum wage, they're admitting failure. 860-522-9842. Pam in Enfield, you're on WTIC with Alfredo Castillo. Hi, Pam.
Hi, good afternoon. I'm just calling
Very briefly, two reasons. The first reason is, as I heard you saying earlier about how, you know, the state funds these programs or the government-funded programs, people think that they're, you know, entitled to them, and it's just an ongoing circle of never just using it as a way to survive instead of just to get, you know, to get a leg up.
Alfredo wants them to get jobs.
Right. And I can just say that I was at work and I was taking an application for someone who happened to be incarcerated. And I asked how much, and by the way, this person was probably in her mid-20s.
Mm-hmm.
She was on disability because she was an addict. And I asked how much she got, and she told me. And then she said, oh, no, wait, I got a raise.
What do you mean how much she got?
How much she gets from Social Security disability.
Okay.
So when she told me, then she stopped me and she said, oh, wait, no, I'm wrong. I got a raise.
Okay.
And I thought to myself, you didn't get a raise.
You got an increase in the dole that you get handed.
Right. But that's the mindset what I'm saying. Like they, it's something that's entitled. They're entitled to. And then the second thing, and I apologize. It was said a couple weeks ago and I listened to you and I think, I should have called in, but I'm going to say it now. There was a politician, you guys played a soundbite, and she was saying about how she was a Democrat, and she said, we either care more about middle-class families or we care more about truck drivers, talking about the tolls. And so I called my dad, who's retired and in Florida,
mm-hmm.
Just to fact check, because my dad and my husband were both truck drivers. My dad was long distance. My husband was tri-state. And my dad told me that depending on the company you work for, you have to pay for your tolls as a truck driver out of pocket. So then depending on the company, they'll reimburse you. And even some companies who say that they will reimburse you, you may or may not see that money. So, you know, that's the argument of you care more about middle class. I choked when she said that because I thought, they are middle class. Who does she think she's, you know...
Yeah, it's the same people.
Are the middle class.
And that's what they're always trying to do is pair people off into camps so they can get them fighting with each other. Pam, thank you for making the point. Alfredo, any thoughts on any of what Pam had to say?
Yeah, she's right. She's just, you know, everybody's there's nothing. So they're losing hope and they know where to go get the money and the service is there, but it's a trap.
So you worked for the city of Bridgeport, is that right? Before you got into politics?
Yeah, I was. I worked at the Housing Authority.
And,
the city of Bridgeport.
And your job there was doing what?
I was a maintenance mechanic.
Mm-hmm.
I worked in fixing apartments for low income.
So tell people how you got into politics. How did you become a councilman?
How did I get into politics? I fell off a ladder. I was at work and they gave me a ladder to go up and paint some moldings in the mm-hmm. building. And the ladder was no good and I came down with it and I fell and broke my ankle, my shoulders. So
you broke your shoulders too?
My shoulder.
Wow.
I got 11 screws in my ankle. So I took a early disability pension because uh-huh. my work was physical.
Yeah.
And I had screws in my, and there was, you know, it would hurt me when I get home. You know, I'll
deal
with
it. How many years ago was this?
This is
like eight years ago.
8 years ago.
8 years ago.
So.
You still have pain?
Yeah, I get it. I don't have no numbness in the bottom of my foot. But, you know, I managed, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And they came looking for me to become a politician. And
you didn't know what they were talking about.
I don't even know what they were talking about. I was like,
But you did it. They talked you into it.
They talked
you went out
it.
And campaigned. Yeah. What happened when you started going door-to-door campaigning?
It's just a door knocking and it's like, is this politics? Because this is just people that I know. You know, I was born and raised in Bridgeport, 48 years old.
And you worked in?
And I worked for the biggest agency in Bridgeport.
In those buildings?
Yeah. So
you knew everybody?
So I mostly, yeah. Know somebody that knows somebody that knows somebody. You know, Bridgeport's a big city, but small in community. So, and I took the incumbent that was there for 12 years. And I wasn't even an endorsed candidate.
Well, thank you so much for coming in, and thank you for being bold enough to step outside of what you're supposed to be saying. You're supposed to be loyal to the Governor Lamont, but you'll be loyal when he's loyal to the working people of Bridgeport, is what you're saying.
Listen, I'm a politician, but my job is to serve my constituents. I'm a servant, and I serve them, and I bring them the bread. And the bread is jobs.
And not new taxes.
No taxes. Come on. That's just silly. You know, that you would do that to people, working people on top of that. They're struggling. And you're whacking them over the head. And I don't like that. That's being bullies.
Well, it's been great having you here. Will you come back and do it again?
Yeah, I'll come back.
Alfredo Castillo, thank you, sir.
You're welcome. Anytime.
It's great to know you and great hearing you talk. And you did a great job on the radio for the first time.
Jobs, jobs, jobs.
That's what it's all about. Money for the people. All right, thank you, sir.